This is Rude from the band Critical Circus, and you're listening to Power Rock Podcast with Jim Madonna. So crank it up and let the ears bleed. Oh, and by the way, Jim Madonna is nothing like a virgin.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from indie to mainstream from around the globe. As this is the first interview of 2016, I am stoked to bring you the high-energy, killer vocalist, singer, songwriter, and producer, Sweden's very own Mr. Rude Turin of Critical Circus. Rude, welcome to the show, man.
How are you doing over there? How is it going? And welcome, everyone. I hope we don't go away.
Rude, you know, I got to tell you, brother, I have been a fan of yours. You know, I got hooked up with your music on Facebook. And I got to tell you, man, I have been a fan ever since. And I says, I've got to get a hold of this cat because this dude has got such high octane, high driven, kick-ass tunes. And I says, I've got to contact you, man. And I just want to thank you, man, for accepting this invitation to be on my show, brother.
Let me tell you something. You caught me. The great time. Right now, I'm in Moscow. I'm in a bar. I'm drinking a shot of Red Bull. I'm surrounded by 1, 2, 3, 20, 40, 60 Russians that all just want to drink. I had to pull away because, well, two Russians said, I have to try this mixed something. And the other Russian said, hey, you've got to try this one. So I combined them both in the little shot glass, and I'm drinking it now, and I'm having a good time. So
that's awesome, man. So you originated and you live in Sweden, but you're visiting Russia at this time.
Exactly. Right now, I bebopped to the other side of the world or the other side of the globe and said, hey, you know what? I went from Sweden. I went States for a little bit of time. Then I said, hey, wait a minute. I wonder, where is the coldest place I could go for a vacation time? Oh, Russia. So I'm here right now, and as I said, I'm in a bar surrounded, first off, beautiful women all over, and I'm surrounded by about 60 people that want to give me shots. So I'm doing good. I'm in Moscow, in Russia right now.
Well, we'll keep you off the phone as long as we can, because I know how important it is to get back to those beautiful women and those shots, man. All right, so, you know, Rude, I'll tell you what, brother. How about we go ahead and start this interview out, man? Or how about we give the listeners some history about, you know, who you are, you know, and how you got started. We're going to play several tracks from your band, Critical Circus. So what I'm going to do is turn the floor over to you, man. Go ahead, my friend.
All right. Well, let me tell you a little bit of bebop in history about myself. I come from Sweden, Uppsala. What I'm in a band called Critical Circus. It's a rock band. And matter of fact, we've already destroyed Sweden. We've moved over to America. We've destroyed America when we came there. Matter of fact, we had to, let's just put it this way. We were revoked and kicked out. And then we came back and said, hey, you know what? Let's try it again. So after that, we released our first album, which was Let the Madness Begin. Then we released Metalhead. Then we released another Let the Madness Begin. Then we released the new album, which is called City Slicker. So just to give you a little taste, we're just a hard rocking band. Myself, I produce, arrange, compose, and write for a lot of different other people. That's pretty much where I'm at right now.
Hey, you know, you said that you wrote, produced, et cetera, et cetera. However, on Critical Circus album, we have a mutual friend, J.K. Northrup from Alien Productions, who was in King Cobra and XYZ. Is he still doing any project with you?
Yes, matter of fact, it's kind of strange that you just said. But the fact is, Critical Circus is back in the studio, starting to write new music right now. We're just on board right now, trying to just throw out things, see what's whatever slides down off the wall. We pick it up and say, hey, this is a hit. Jake, he's the one who actually puts the stuff together. When we throw it on the wall and it slides, wait a minute, you pick this up and throw it back on the wall and make it stick. So he is actually the one who actually puts us together and says, hey, we move this a little here. We put a little magic here. We put a little bebop and bebop here. You know what? Bam! What do you guys think? He's the member, as we want to call it.
Yeah, JK has an amazing resume. He's worked with some fantastic bands like Critical Circus. You know, my hat goes off to that man. He's an outstanding sound engineer, mixing, mastering, you know, like I said.
I have to tell you, he's an awesome guitarist.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, I understand back in, you actually had gotten onto the Sweden Hard Rock magazine.
Exactly. Exactly.
Give us some history about you being on that magazine, man.
Oh, man. First off, on that, I have to tell you, that was an experience that took us overboard. I mean, you know, when you get a little bit of taste of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this, then you go, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. Is this something? It was a dream. And then I thought, well, you know what? To get on this magazine and do this and do that and do this, I said, wait a minute. Let's take it a little bit further. So we started to take it a little bit further. And then things started happening. And I have to tell you, that was one of the major accomplishments that we had to put on our resume. It was one of the major things that just made us say, wow, I can't believe how amazing this is. It's just like doing your radio interview. I can't imagine, and I can't tell you. I'm in Russia right now. You're in the United States. And the music crossed over that far. Can you only imagine the emotions and the feelings I'm feeling right now? Can you imagine?
You know, I got to tell you, man, I know it's humbling for me. I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd ever be speaking with a Swedish rocker that's now hanging out in Russia drinking liquor. I mean, I think to me that is like super cool. So, you know, the internet is a blessing and it's a curse. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we both know how the internet works and there's a lot of shady shit that goes on. But, you know, for the most part, man, if it wasn't for the internet, we would not be having this conversation.
And I have to say, every listener that's going to listen to this, I have to tell straight, if it wasn't for the indie podcast radio stations like yourself getting our music out, you know, the big boys have made their money and, you know, everyone knows who they are. But, you know, the little guy, like us, if it wasn't for you guys playing our music, getting the interviews, getting us out there, pushing us because you like the music, you know, we'd be lost. We'd be on the back of the bus saying, hey, I think we missed our stop. You know, so, you know, I have to say, it's not us. It's you. It's you guys that are doing this and keeping us alive and making us breathe and making us get out there and tour and, making people aware that, hey, wow, wait a minute, there's a new band out there. There's this. It's like a smorgasbord, but, you know, you take what you want, but then also stuff your pocket. So, I mean, I appreciate what you're doing. I have to, my hat's off to you, you know?
Well, I take that very humbly, like I said, Rude, and that means a lot, brother. Let's talk about Critical Circus here. There's a song I want to play called Staring at the Sun. How about you give us a little history about that, man?
Wow, okay. Staring at the Sun is actually, and the strangest thing about this song is that this song was written 3 years ago when we were on tour, and we were on tour in London, and then we had from London, we had it, and we seen what was going on, and it was quite strange, but it was a lot of things having to deal with in society. Let's put it this way, race, religion, and all this other stuff that is going on right now, and you know, I just was on a plane and started doodling and started just jotting down stuff, and I said, hey, wait a minute. And as the plane crossed over to land in Los Angeles, the sun was there. And I said, oh, man, I'm staring at the sun. And bam, that's exactly how that title and everything came together. It was just that way.
Wow, that's really cool, man. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Let's let the listeners hear Staring at the Sun with Rude Chirin on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Woo, here we go. Crazy, looking for some.
welcome back. We are with Rude Chirin, like I had said, of Critical Circus. Rude, dude, you know, like all your songs, man, that is just awesome. I guitar driven. The vocals on it are amazing. You know, well done, my friend. Seriously, well done.
And that is done by JK. Again, hats off to JK. He's the magic behind us. You know, I give him a blob of stuff and say, hey, can you make sense out of this? And JK goes, wait a minute. How about this? How about this? How about that? And can you fix that? And I'll come back with this. And he comes back with the magic. And I go, wait a minute. This is better than what I heard in my head. And this was better than what I heard 3 shots ago. So I was like, wow. You know, so hats off to Jay. Because if it wasn't for him, I'm telling you, he's the man behind the machine. Make sure that gets out there.
Right on. Exactly, man. As far as, I hate to ask this as a generic question, but what artists would you say that are really your inspirations? I know that sounds like a generic question, but I feel it's kind of imperative.
You know what? That's not a generic question. Actually, that's a great question, I must say, because living in, let's put it this way, I've been in 3 different globes. I live 3 different time zones. Sometimes I live in Las Vegas. As you know, maybe sometimes I'm in Russia, like now. Sometimes I'm back home in Sweden. Sometimes I go live in France. Yeah, sometimes I'm wherever else in the world. So my inspiration comes from a lot of different music stuff that I hear. Matter of fact, I'm working on a solo album right now with a few really big guys. And I just happen to be on a little safari, let's put it this way, a little walkabout. And I heard this little tribal noise thing, and I kept, oh, this little tribal thing. Oh, man, it's a be-da-ba-dee-ba-da-ba-dee-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, and I put it down. I thought, wait a minute, how do I take this out of my head and bring it to life? So I get the inspiration from a lot of different things, a lot of different noise people, different artists. So it can come from anywhere in the universe. As long as I'm open to it, the universe will provide it. That's exactly what, where all this music comes from. Because it's not just with Critical Circus. It's, I have various different artists in different genres that I'm working with. So it's a whole different thing where the inspiration comes from.
I've watched several YouTube videos that you have out there. And, there's, of course, I love your music. But there's one thing that I think is really stands out about yourself is that you have an amazing stage presence, man. I mean, you get up on stage and you're not afraid to stay still 1 minute. I mean, you're all over the place. You'll jump in the crowd. You absolutely love your fans.
Oh, man. I must tell you this, and that's probably what's going to put me on the road for 2016, because I'm planning out a tour right now, is the fact is, if I didn't get the request that people would ask, are you coming back on tour? Are you going to come on tour? When are you coming? Are you going to come to our state? Are you going to come to our country? Are you going to come here? Can you come play the little... The fact is, I hate the barriers, and I don't know what it is, but when I'm on a stage, like, for instance, I did 3 dates at House of Blues in Las Vegas, and the stage is pretty high, and, people are looking up at you, and you're looking down at them singing. I said, this can't work. I got to get out to them. So I had to either run off stage and go down the little doorway and get into the crowd, and they were like, wait a minute, he's singing right here. He's next to us. I don't like the barrier. And then, I had to get back on stage because obviously the guy's got to take the cues. And then I just jump off the stage. The stage is about 12 feet high. I got to fly off the stage and go, over the barriers and get into the people. And the people get into me and I get into them. And, they touch me in private places and I kind of like it. So it's that feeling. I don't just want to be there on stage and act a rock star. I actually want the 3D effect. I want to know that you can touch me. You can feel, I can feel you. You can, in appropriate ways though, and we interact with each other. I live for the stage, and that's what keeps me going making music. I just live for that stage And I live for the people that actually give me the energy. And when I look out in the crowd and I see them smiling, I'm smiling, and oh, we got a connection, and it's beautiful. I can't even describe it, but everything that I live for.
You know, you had spoke about tour dates and so on. Are any of those tour dates, do you have any intentions of coming to the United States?
Yes, actually, probably within the mid, what we're doing right now, Critical Circus, as I said, we're working in the studio right now trying to get maybe, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 songs done. And as I'm doing Critical Circus, I'm working on my solo stuff too. I'm trying to get out in an album there. But what we have planned is probably June or July. That I'm hoping that we'll hit the United States sometime around there in June or July.
Now, you've obviously, like you had stated, you had played in the U.S. However, do you feel or do you notice a difference in your fan base, you know, the United States versus your hometown of Sweden? Or do you find a balance? Or how do you feel about that, man?
Oh, yeah, man. There's a big difference. Let me put it this way. The audience, it depends on where you go, because we've been to Denver, Colorado. We've been to Las Vegas. We've been to Los Angeles. We've been to New Mexico, Albuquerque. You know, so there is a big difference between the reactions of people. And I can tell you, Swedes, we're kind of humble. We love the show and things like that, but we don't show the emotion as much as we should. But Americans, oh my God, I can't tell you how many times I've had beers given to me on stage or shots given to me, and you know, people want to jump on stage and dance and scream. And I mean, I have to tell you, American people are more outgoing and more enthusiastic and appreciate it, I think, than some of the countries that I have visited and we've played in. I mean, I can tell you, if I had my choice, I would tour a year straight. I told already Critical Circus, if we going in June, why not make it June to the end of December? Because I love the crowd there. And it's just the reaction. But then we have a big fan base in Sweden, obviously, and we have a big fan base in Finland and Denmark and things like that. So we have to, you know, appease everyone. But I'm telling you, there is a big difference.
And you know why I think that difference is? And I'm just going to give you my quick opinion on it, and then we're going to move on. But here in America, Americans are stuck in the 80s, man, and they're not willing to step out of their comfort zone, and they're still listening to the same shit they did back in the 80s, and nothing's really changing. And that's why I choose to go out and try to find artists like yourself that have so much more to offer, that needs to be on that main stage, and get these people that have been around for 30 years. Not that they're bad. Please don't misinterpret what I'm saying, man. But not, you know, it's let's get some fresh material like Critical Circus and get them on tour, get them record deals, and get their ass moving, because you guys need to be heard, man. It's just that simple. That's my opinion.
Do you know, I just had this conversation about 2 hours ago with a few Russian producers here, and we were talking about it. You know, the what you just said is the truth, and I have to, I mean, preach on, brother, preach on, because the fact is, we have talked about this. The Deep Purple's, the Motley Crue's just retired. If you been reading the news, I think they just did their last tour in Los Angeles, California, on right. December 30th. I think they did, right? Am I
yes.
correct there?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, so they just retired. The problem, these bands milk it for as much as they can, you know, with reunion tours and whatever. And as you said, people are stuck in that instead of saying, hey, you know what, there's a band over here is new you might like, because the fact is, yeah, they took a little sample of the sound of here, they took a little sample of here, but they made it their own. There's a lot of bands out here, I can tell you, a lot of bands, even in America, you know, Europe, that I've heard that just are not getting the airplay, are not even on the scope. They're not even seen or heard, and it's just amazing, because the fact is, if you put them on the stage, and I'm telling you this, if you put them on the stage with Aerosmith or Rolling Stones, they would blow them away. sound-wise. They would blow them away live-wise. But people want that. They want the nostalgia because they live their, you know, they live in that life. They just don't want to move on. And that's the problem we've been having, you know, until we finally just said, hey, you know what? We have a show. You know, we don't have all the lights and the glamour and glitz. We just four men that want to rock the shit out of a stage. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. You know, that's fine with us.
Thank you very much.
You're
welcome, man. Listen, let's go into another song from Critical Circus. The next one I want called Gotta Go. How about some history on that, brother?
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of thing on that one. Actually, I was away. We were doing a 4-month tour, and we were all over the place. I can't even tell you the countries and the states and the hotels and blah, blah, blah. But we were away. One of the drummer, actually, made a call to his girlfriend, and she was like, you know, I'm getting ready to do this, and I wanted to go do this and this and this. And he said, listen, I'm on my way home. I've got 3 more shows, 3 more dates, and I'm on my way. I'm getting on the plane. So just please wait, you know. And I remember specifically when that call was made, because we were all staying in one little hotel room. You know how it is. We got to budget in and budget this and budget that. And, hey, are you going to eat the rest of that half sandwich? You know, and then he called her and he said, I got to go. And I was like, what? You got to go where? And he was like, I got to go. I got to get home. And I was like, thank you. There's another song. So that's how it was written.
I love it, man. That's awesome. Well, here it is, man. Gotta Go with Critical Circus on Power Rock Podcast.
about the blues.
All right, again, we are back with Rude Turin of Critical Circus, man. Another great tune, man. Well done.
You know, it's quite strange because I played that song for someone else, new Deep Purple, Ian Gillan, and they said, "Hey, wait a minute, did you steal the song from them?" And I was like, "What do you mean steal the song from them?" They were like, "Wait a minute, because this could have been their song." I was like, no, this is our song. And they were like, "No, but if you would have gave it to them back then on their Fireball tour, they would have written this song and blah, blah." I was like, "Yeah, well, that's a compliment. Thank you very much." You know?
So
we got that kind of vibe. If you listen to it and, you know, you really get into it, you can hear the little Deep Purple kind of feel in there, you know, and you get it and you understand, wow, wait a minute, it's kind of got that little, you know, Deep Purple thing. So, yeah.
Right on, brother. Hey, let me ask you, man, how important do you feel, in your opinion, is it today to be on a record label?
You know what? That's a great question. Matter of fact, I'm going to answer this question in two parts. First off, the record labels, if you know about what's going down, and, you know, I read on the planes because I'm always on the planes, you know, they've all merged. So there's only the great three or four, it's called right now, you know, and, well, they've got this 360 deal. I don't know if you know about it. 360 deal means they'll sign you, but they keep the money. You sell merchandise at your show, they keep half, or more than half, actually. I can't say half. They keep more than half. You know, the way the internet runs today, here's my thought. The way the internet runs today is you can do it on your own. I mean, let's put it this way. 10,000 records were sold from City Slicker. And that's because the fact is we got out and toured and promoted and promoted and promoted and promoted and toured and toured and toured. So if I would have not toured and promoted it and got it out and, you know, told everyone, you know what? I don't have to sell it for $10. I'll sell it to you for $1. That's profit in my, you know, that's profit for me to be able to go back in the studio and make some more music. I think what it is, if you want my opinion, is that the record labels are a big bank. I take out a loan, and guess what? If I don't pay on my mortgage, they come and repossess my shit, you know? So a record label has one thing that, you know, the little indie artist can't do, and that's promotion. That's why you hear all day long on the same top 40 radio stations. Unlike yourself, you hear the same shit over and over. I just heard that song 3 times before. It's because they can keep it going, keep promoting it until you like it. You know, it's brainwashing. Our song, we're lucky, like you, to pick it up, to like it enough to play it. So, you know, it's a catch 22. Labels aren't what they used to be. You know, as I mentioned about Deep Purple, if Deep Purple came out today, they wouldn't sell. They wouldn't sell. A label wouldn't even pick them up. If Led Zeppelin came out today, as they did the time they came out, they wouldn't sell today. It's because the fact that the industry has changed. It's not about the music anymore. It's about a look. It's about a, you know, how we can sell. Package this look and sell it. I mean, it's an ongoing cycle. And I can tell you, you know, we've been offered, and just the deals are like, are you serious? Are you really serious? You think I want a 10-year contract? And I'm going to pay you this amount of money. I got to pay you to buy my records. I mean, can you imagine that?
No, I can't. Can you imagine? I think it's, you know, mm-hmm. I think the, like you had said, you know, the industry has changed so much that, I mean, it's always been a business. That's why they call it the music business. However, today, like you said, if you don't have the look, or if you're, you know, you just, if you don't have all your ducks in a row, man, you're going to get swallowed alive in this industry.
And, you know, that's the problem with a lot of bands that are out right now. I must tell you this. A lot of bands that are out right now think it's very cool to be associated with a label, a big label. I'm not knocking a label. What I'm knocking is that the intelligence of the band is that they don't know what they're getting into. It's if I go to a bank and I say, hey, bank, you know what? I'd like to take a mortgage out, or I'd like to take a loan out for you to buy my studio. The bank will say, yeah, what's your collateral? What's you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'll make this return. And if I don't, if I miss a payment or two, it's just the same as a house. They come and take my shit. It's done. I'm over. You know, I'm not knocking a label because, you know, it's a business. It's like the stock market, you know, but I am knocking the fact that the way that they do business, you know, is instead of taking it on talent basis like it used to be, they take it on a look basis and package it and sell it. And then when you go see the people live, fuck, you're like, wait a minute. Why does this shit sound like shit live, but it sounds great on record? You know, it's because the fact is they packaged it. They sold it to you. It's like a house. You buy a house on the outside, the house looks great. The house looks like, fuck, this is a great house. You go inside, you buy the house, you say, hey, sign the dotted line, blah, blah, blah. You get it. You walk away. You say, yeah, shake hands, whatever else. You go in there and you find out all the piping in the house is shit. Right?
Right on, man.
You know? You go and you take you go and sit on your throne like Elvis, and then you flush the Elvis toilet, and all of a sudden the shit comes back at you instead of goes down the sink. So, I mean, it's the same thing. It's you know, it's a business. I'm not knocking the labels, but they have not restructured the way of thinking since whatever time they started. The only thing they came up with was, as I said, if people research bands, artists, if they research 360 deal, they'll find out what I'm talking about. I don't want to give all my profit away. I don't want, and still be broke. You know, I'm still have to come home and say, oh shit, you know what? I still got bills. How am I going to pay these? You know, it's not about that, but also it's not about making money. You know, the reason why I'm working with so many different artists and on the, you know, doing my own thing in Critical Circus is because I got music. When I die, I'm going to leave a library of music that will not get finished, you know, because the fact is I don't have that much time to finish all my shit. But I'm not knocking labels. I'm just saying that it's a bubble. It's, you know, it's a stock market bubble. Unfortunately for them, it busted.
Rude, I want to talk about another song, is Shut Up and Suck.
I got to have a drink. Hold on, bartender, come here. Yeah, let me. I'm sorry, I need a Red Bull on this one.
What the fuck?
Because we've been censored so many times in so many different countries for this song. So the song is called Shut Up and Suck. I walked into the studio and Critical Circus, we were all in the room and said, okay, what are we going to do? You know, and the bass player started playing some little whatever. And I said, hey, wait a minute. Wait, you got something there. And I was pissed off already. Because before I walked into the studio, I was already, you know, this son of a, and I was not even talking about a girl, because the song is kind of, I put it in a way that guys would understand, but it wasn't about a girl. It was about just the situation that I was in. You know, I was at I was at a kiosk, I think you call it the mini market or something like that. And I was buying something, and the person behind the counter was kind of, let's just put it, not a nice person. You know, and just blah, 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 blah. And I was like, hey, why don't you just shut up and suck? And I threw down my money. And then, you know, I came to the studio. It was a Snickers bar I was buying. I mean, God's sake, how the hell are you shit so hard on a Snickers bar? I just want the Snickers bar. I couldn't open it and eat it before I paid for it, I guess. And so I went to the studio, and the bass player started playing something. And it was a little riff. And I said, wait a minute. Yeah, I got something here. So Snathon and I, who's the guitarist, started working on it and trying to get it down. I said, you know what? This is Shut Up and Suck. Let me just go balls out on it. And that's what you hear on this song. Just balls out. Just straight. And so Shut Up and Suck. And that's how it came out.
Well, here it is, man. the song that's been censored around the country, Shut Up and Suck with Critical Circus. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast.
You should just fucking smile and blow me.
Said guitar driven, vocally incredible, but it's not getting censored on this show, my friend.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I have to tell you, on tour, we play that song live a lot of times. Let me put it this way: between Thailand, Germany, Finland, Denmark, United States, Sweden, obviously, we went on stage. I gotta tell you, real quick, we started off, and we would start off with something, you know, kind of just to get at the crowd a little bit. Nah, 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 nah. When we hit that song, I'm telling you, everyone, and you can see it on their faces, everyone that was drinking a beer or water or whatever, spit it out. You can, what the hell did they just say? They were like, we had so many people come up to us and say, that should have been a Guns N' Roses song. That should have been the Guns N' Roses song. That should have been their song. How did you, you know, people loved it. They were like, this is high octane. We can't get enough of this. The energy is just off the roof. So that was one of those things that people ask. How would you like to walk in a bar and people tell you, hey, shut up and suck? That was happening to us everywhere. I can tell you. I can't even count how many countries we had been in that people, in different languages, shut up and suck.
Right on,
what the fuck? Yeah, man, you'd walk into different countries, man, and you'd go into a bar and people who knew you would walk up and say, shut up and suck.
You know what I like? You know what I love about you, Rude Man, is that you're brutally honest, man, and that's what I appreciate. That's funny.
That's all you're going to get from me, man.
Hey, let me ask you, brother. You know, Rude, let me ask you, what would you be doing, do you feel, that you would be doing in your time if you were not doing music other than visiting Russia, getting liquored up?
Oh, man. You don't want to, can I say it on your show?
Say whatever you want, man.
Man, you know, we have Burger King and McDonald's here in Sweden, and, you know, man, I'd be the one spitting in the burger. Just hate my life.
That is so wrong, man. That is just so wrong.
I'm telling you, I would fucking be flipping the burger, fucking just hating life, spitting in the burger. I dare someone just to tell me the burger sucks. I would be on the dough so many times. I would be unemployed so many times that it would fucking just hurt the system. And the system would tell me, you know what? Fuck, we're just going to give you money. You're psychologically fucked up. You can't spit in people's burgers. You can't keep getting fired from fucking whatever. Anyway, I'm telling you, if I couldn't do music, there's no one would take me. I couldn't sit behind a desk. I couldn't flip a burger. And it's nothing to do about flipping burgers because everybody's got to do something. But I just fucking couldn't do it. There's no possibility.
But you would agree, though. I mean, Rude, you would agree, though. And you are by no means, I'm sure, degrading or undermining the people that do those jobs. I mean, you...
No, fuck no.
Right. I mean, because no. You're right, man. I mean, not everybody can be on stage. Not everybody can be a producer. Not everybody can be a singer-songwriter. Not everybody can be a radio DJ. Not everybody can be a guitarist. But you know what? Somebody's got to eat. And we
exactly.
So I just want to make it... I wanted to reiterate that you were not degrading or putting anybody down.
Not even close. I think I have fucking so much respect for those people because they have to take everyone else's shit.
Exactly,
you know?
Man. Exactly.
And not only that, but they have to be a counselor. They got to be a fucking top chef or whatever. You know, because you got to have the balls to be able to say, I'm sorry, ma'am, or I'm sorry, sir, or oh, let me fix this one. Fuck it. Fuck no. I couldn't do it because the fact is I just don't have the discipline. As my mother said, get the fuck out.
Let's talk about another track here. The one I want to play here is called No Bull. How about some history, man?
Oh, shit. No Bull. No Bull is a good one. Actually, I was listening to AC/DC, and if you listen to AC/DC, I was actually on my way to studio to record two other tracks, and I just had an idea. I was like, wait a minute. I'm listening to AC/DC. I'm listening to Nightcrawler. I don't know if you know the song, but that and a few others on. Damn, I could do this. And then it was really funny because in the song, one of my friends, a girl, she was speaking French to me. And I speak a little French, so we were having a conversation on the phone and going back and forth and talking and, you know, things like that. And then she was like, yeah, you know, and I remember when we tore down the walls. And I was like, oh, tore down the walls. Yeah, I remember that. It was good. And so the story built from that. And then, you know, at the end, you'll hear a little kind of, what do you call it, a Wall Street thing, you know, a little hum. Wall. Actually, at the end, you'll hear I'm a little, can I say I'm drunk?
Yeah, you can say you're drunk.
I was fucked up at the end of the recording. That was in one take, and actually was in a really bad run-down studio. The guy gave us free time. I said, yeah, I want to record this song, and it's only going to take me 20 minutes to an hour, and I've got all the tracks done and blah, 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 and I just need to lay down the vocals. And if you listen in there, you'll hear a dog bark. It was his dog. And the dog was barking while I'm singing. So the little history was that song was kind of created on the spot as I was getting ready to go to the studio and I was going to record something else. So that song is just like a B, can we say a B track? Well, it's a little B track.
Well, it's still a great song. And here it is, No Bull, with Rude Turin of Critical Circus on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Yeah. Wall Street, right?
What? Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street goes.
Going down, down your Wall Street. It's a one-way street. Where I go, no matter where I go, as long as I'm making money, I'm on
Welcome back. We are with Rude Turin of Critical Circus. And the dog part really made me laugh, man. I'm sorry, brother. But great tune, my friend. Great tune. Rude, I want to ask you another question, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to close this out, brother. And it's this. When you leave this earth, man, what type of legacy do you want to leave your friends and fans?
You know what? That's a great question, because I've actually thought about this, because I'm going to drop a bomb on you right now, your listeners. You know, I haven't said this anywhere. I just did an interview, a magazine here, interview, and I hadn't let them know. So I'm going to drop a bomb on you right now, because what you just asked is a great question. Personally, I'm working with a few different artists here. I've got two artists by the name of KT. She has a song out now that I produced, arranged, and wrote called Into the Night. I'm working with another artist called Windy Disappear. It is Windy Disappear. And I'm working with another big artist here in Russia called Nikolai. My thing is, it's quite strange that you said that, but I'm going to drop this bomb. Probably by the end of 2016. I'm going to retire. You know, I've been doing everything I wanted to do in life since I'd been very little. I was given the gift of making music, and I love making music. There's no way I will stop. These artists that I'm working with now, they're in a different genre than myself. I'm strictly a rock, but I wanted to venture off into other areas. And KT, she's a pop dance artist, which is not a pop dance artist. She's not interested in all this glamour and blah, blah, blah shit. So, you know, started writing songs for her. Windy Disappear, started writing songs for her, and it just started working. I started collaborating with him on stuff, and I just started getting that producer niche thing. I thought, you know what? I'm going to tour the hell out of Critical Circus working on their album. I'm working on my solo album, and I'm working with some great producers, AJ St. John, James. He's been with 6AM. He's wired up the sound for Metallica. He's done so many great artists. And Sean O'Doy, he's done Blink 182. He's a big master producer, and I'm happy to have them on which I think will be my last record, Rude, will be my last solo record. And as I speak about this, I'm starting to get, so the bartender came over to Jimmy Spock. I'm not joking. Put the fireball right in, if I had a video camera, I would put it on the video camera. They just came over and dropped a bottle of fireball in front of me.
Well, so really what you're saying in a nutshell, man, is that you'll never give up music, but you're just going to kind of redirect your desires and refocus it somewhere else. But Critical Circus will always be alive. Rude Turin will always be alive, but just redirect
it. Yeah, it's just going to be just a little, a little bit different. I mean, it's like this, and I will say this. Man, I love people that what I do. I love the people that love Critical Circus. I love the people that come out to the shows. As I said, when we played San Diego, Second Wind, we played, in Las Vegas, we played in Denver and Albuquerque and all over the place in Los Angeles. And I tell you, I mean, everywhere we've played, people have continually to come out and support and support and support and come back and bring their friends and get bigger and bigger. It's come down to the fact that, I'm dropping this big bomb and saying, it's probably after 2016, I probably will you know, retire from the traveling, the road and stuff, but I'll still be making music. I will not give that up. If I give that up, then I just might as well just, you know, call it a day. I won't give up that, be making music. And Critical Circus will always be putting out music. It's just because we enjoy doing it. But as far as tours and things like that, I probably this will be the last, for me, unless Critical Circus says, it's time for you to go to Japan. Okay, I'll go.
Right on, man. Well, Rude, it's time to close the show out, brother. And I just want to say once again that I am absolutely humbled that you would take your time, especially out of a bar in Russia on your vacation, to give me a call, man, to share the love of yourself and your music. I want to say to you, brother, that I wish you truly, man, from the bottom of my heart, I wish you the utmost success in all that you do, man. Rude Turin, in my book, kicks ass. Thank you so much, my friend.
You know what? I let me say this and be humble about this before we sign off and I get back to my bar tab or get back to these Russians that are killing me. I have to tell you this. Jim Madonna, if it wasn't for you and if it wasn't for this internet podcast that you do, the others out there that follow you, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. If it wasn't for people like you, indie people like me, like myself, like other bands out there that I know should be big, we wouldn't be able to get our music out. We wouldn't be able to get the people to tune in and say, hey, you know what? I like this band. How do I know more about them? How do I know more about this podcast? How do I know more about the guy who's behind doing these interviews? If there's any way that I could tell the people out there who are listening to your show, who tune into this and appreciate what you do, donate. Keep this stuff on the air because your top 40 shit ain't doing you anything. Your top 40 stuff, how many times in a row can you hear fucking Justin fucking Bieber or however you say his name? I mean, come on. You know, you're the true soul behind music. And regardless of if you think so or not, you're the reason why I'm up at, because of people like you that keep us alive, that keep us, you know, spinning and put us in the ears and the minds of the people. So I can't tell you how humble I am that you would take the time out, want to interview people like me, but you're just kicking the shit out of it now.
Well, Rude, man, I thank you, man. That means a lot. And I like I said, man, I'm very humbled.
It's just the pleasure is all mine. And as I said, you know, my path with, music and things, as I said, I'm working with, you know, 3 different artists right now and trying to get out their music, you know, different from mainstream, give them a shot. And anyone else that thinks that they all they got to do is contact me and say, hey, let me listen to something. You know, I want to give back what was given to me. You know, that's the main thing for me. I want to give what was given to me.
All right, well, there you have it. An interview with Rude Turin of Critical Circus. I am Jim Madonna. Yeah. This is Power Rock Podcast. I want to encourage you, friends, don't wait for the blessing. Be the blessing. I'm going to leave you with one more track with Critical Circus. This one here is called Pull Your Head Out. Crank it up. Peace.
Stepped into place, flashing the camera.